Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our sixth installment on the thoughts on Purim. There's a point that I left out yesterday. We were talking about the comparison between Purim and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of serving God through reverence. Purim is a day of serving God through love. There's another wrinkle here, which is that the initial acceptance of the Torah was very much a sense of serving a God that was so obviously present. The famous Gemara in Shabbos says, based on the verse, "Vayisyatzfu b'sachtis ha'har," that the Jewish people stood, we translated it at the bottom of the mountain, but literally translated, tachtis would in a vacuum normally mean underneath. So we understand it to mean they stood at the bottom of the mountain, but the Gemara goes on this word tachtis and says that God turned over the mountain of Sinai and said, if you don't accept the Torah, I'll throw this down on you. This is a point of great discussion. We're so praising of the Jewish people that they said, Nasa v'nishma, we'll ask questions later, we're so accepting. So why does God have to threaten them to accept the Torah? A lot of different answers to this question. The Maral famously explains that it's not that God threatened them. It's that God's miraculous presence compelled them to accept the Torah. How in the world could they not accept the Torah? Think of everything they had seen in Egypt. Think of everything they saw at the splitting of the sea. Then they get to Har Sinai, and there's miracles and wonders left and right. It's not that God threatened them. It's that it was a no-brainer. It was as if the mountain was being held over their heads, which is very powerful. But that is such a different mode than re-accepting the Torah in the context of the Purim story. Whereas in the context of the initial acceptance of the Torah, how could you say no? In the context of the Purim story, they actually could have said no. They could have said no, thank you. They could have said, even after it was all said and done, that was really great that we got saved, but maybe it was Mordechai standing up for his principles that got us in trouble in the first place. And we're glad it worked out, but what do we need this for? And certainly, what do we need to devote ourselves in a whole new way to this Torah for? And the fact that they thought about it and said, you know what, that's silly. That's very silly. We're going to accept this Torah and redouble our connection. That's Avas Hashem. You know, that's real love of God. It's almost, if you think about it, it's sort of the difference in a relationship between someone who occasionally buys a tremendous gift and the recipient is so moved and touched and they have all these warm feelings towards the benevolent giver of the gift. That's one situation. And then the other situation is you have a person who never does particularly flashy things, but they're just always there for their spouse, for their friend, for their parent, for their child, whatever. They're just always there. So the more the recipient reflects on the fact that this benevolent person is always there, not only do they appreciate the person, in a sense, they have a greater feeling of kinship and gratitude than the recipient of the dramatic gifts. It's a worthwhile thing to think about. I want to continue a little bit more on this mode of seeing God through the darkness and the great inspiration of that. The Gemara in Megillah says that after the appointment of Esther as queen, after Vashti had been killed and Esther was appointed as queen, the pasuk in the Megillah says, "Achar hadvarim ha'ela." After these things, after this part of the story, Ahasuerosh promoted Haman to a very prominent position. And the Gemara in Megillah says, what do you mean after these things? What's the significance of the first part of the story? And the Gemara says, once God had created the cure, the refuah, before the makkah, before the wound would come into place. And what that means is, before God was going to promote Haman, allow Haman to be promoted by Ahasuerosh, and thereby create great danger for the Jewish people, he had to have Esther, who would ultimately be the source of salvation for the Jewish people, in place. And that's a remarkable part of the Purim story, and that's a remarkable perspective in general, because first of all, it speaks to so many times there are strings being pulled that we don't even realize until we look back on the whole story. But the other point is, you know what that means? That means that God doesn't create difficulties for us for the sake of difficulties. God creates difficulties so that we can pull ourselves out and become greater people through it. And that's the idea that we say when God conducts himself towards the Jewish people, that he creates the cure before he creates the wound, before he creates the illness. That the idea is the goal of the challenge is to pull ourselves out. And that's so apparent that whether or not we realize it at the time, God gives us the means of pulling ourselves out before he even creates the problem. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.